Amen. God is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Many of us realize, since we last met, many have had to answer the call of death, but God's been good to us. Let us stay on this side of life just a little while longer. We realize and we recognize that God didn't have to do it, but we're sure thankful that God did. It's a blessing to be back here at Stony Island. I appreciate so much the elders, Brother Jackson, Brother Burnside, and all those responsible, Mr. Carter. I appreciate these men so much, and the invite to come and to help you all in kicking off your gospel meeting for 2014. We're grateful, and God grant us traveling grace, and we are grateful to be here. It's been a few months since I've been here, and I was looking forward to coming back and seeing some of the saints. You all are very friendly, and I always enjoy traveling, seeing friendly people. And when I talked with Brother Herman Jackson in regards to coming, I was looking at my schedule and just how many things I had to do so far. The Lord has had me to be very busy this year, but I definitely was looking forward to this particular trip. I was in California last week. I was in Fort Lauderdale the week before that. 2 weeks before that, I was in South Carolina. Before that, I was in Virginia. And I can't remember. I was busy. I was just busy. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. And we have several more trips planned for the rest of the year, gospel meetings the rest of the year. But it's good to be back in Chicago. It's good to be back in Chicago. And it's so good to see my brother, Brother Carter Cabot, and his lovely wife and his sons. Good to see those young men. They were little fellows back in the day, but they are really grown up now. And it's just good to see them. Our roots go back to Rockford when I served there as minister for 9 years. It's just good. It's just really, really good to see. To see them. I look forward to fellowship with them even as the day goes on. And those who are with us today, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to know you are an honored guest because this meeting has been designed with you in mind, that you might consider your soul. And the fact of the matter is that when we leave here, we're going to spend eternity somewhere. And we need to begin to think about what's going to happen once we leave here. As I looked at the news, and even when I was in Florida, one of the things that has caught the national eye and the attention of America is just how violent it is here in Chicago. Folk are dying, it seemed like, every day. And it just seemed like it's just so much violence that goes on, but that's just because people don't people need to know God. And whenever you have people whose mind is not centered on spiritual things, and whenever you have people whose minds are idle, or people who are going around, they'll begin to take advantage of other people, and this is what you have. And so we're praying for you all in the Church of Christ here in Chicagoland area that you'll make a difference in the lives of the people who live here. Now, to that end, let's go to the sermon that has been selected. My text, both this morning and the evening, will be coming from the same text, Matthew 16:18, where Jesus says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, what I want to talk about in this first lesson, I want us to look at the purpose of the church. Now, when you say church, the church is, it comes from a Greek word, ekklesia, which means, ek means out of. Ekklesia is a Greek word from, it comes from a Greek word, kaleo, which means to call. The church is the assembly that God has called out of the world. And He calls us by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what I want us to look at in this first lesson is that when Jesus designed the church, when the Church of Christ was established, it was established for everybody. His intent was for everybody to be a part of that one body. It was not His intent for the church to just include just a certain group of people. The church was for everybody. And I want us to see that because He's going to bring everybody into the Church of Christ the same way. When you look at Acts chapter 2, the Jews were exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as they were exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
They came in through, I'm not going to talk without this thing. They came in through,
can y'all hear me out there? This thing is mighty low. I don't know, somebody dropped it down lower. I pushed the wrong button.
I must have pushed it wrong. Is it back now? No, that ain't it. I did something wrong. Well, in Acts chapter 2, you see where the Jews came into the Lord's church. Thank you, sir.
The Jews came into the Lord's church through baptism. Acts chapter 2. Well, in Acts chapter 10, we're going to see where the Gentiles came into the Lord's church through baptism. Now, sandwiched in between chapter 2 and chapter 10, there is a lesson that I want to talk about to show you that the church of Christ was for everybody. Now, in Acts chapter 8, I want you to look with me. Acts chapter 8, and look with me at verse 26. In Acts chapter 8, my Bible reader, if you don't mind helping me, in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 26, I want you to watch what the Bible says. And it says in verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way which goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia," the Bible says, "a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now, first of all, let me just stop there. We're going to be looking at a eunuch. Now, to understand a eunuch, you have to look at the Bible in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 12. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 12, Jesus begins to tell us about eunuchs. Now, eunuchs, he says, there were some individuals who were born eunuchs. That they were born that way, which means there were some men that were born that did not have a natural attraction to a woman. It was not that they were homosexual. They just did not have a natural attraction to a woman. Eunuchs. Then he says that there were some men that were made eunuchs. There were some kings that would literally castrate men to set them over their harem of women, to make sure they didn't sample the goods. Amen. Now, and he said, and there were some men that were made eunuchs for the kingdom's sake, which means they wanted their only relationship, their only devotion to be to God. Now, the Bible says here in this text, we have a man who the Bible says he had been to Jerusalem for to worship. He's a man of Ethiopia. He had to travel almost 1,000 miles to go to Jerusalem. Why go to Jerusalem? Because the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 and verse number 1 that the Lord's house was in Jerusalem. Now, because he was a proselyte, he was a Gentile, born a Gentile, who converts over to the Jewish religion, they understood. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 23 and verses 14 and verse number 17 that three times a year, every Jewish male had to go to Jerusalem. Three times a year, every Jewish male had to go. They had to go to Jerusalem. Pentecost, they had to go to Jerusalem on the Passover. They had to go to Jerusalem on the Feast of Tabernacles. Three times in a year, they had to go. Now, here this man was. The Bible says he had been to Jerusalem. And the Bible says he had been there for the purpose of worship. But I need you to understand this. Even though he went there for worship, he still could not get in to worship. This man would have traveled almost 1,000 miles just to be in the place where God was being worshipped. Well, how do you know he couldn't get in? All right. The Bible says, look with me. Look what the Bible said, Deuteronomy chapter 23. I'm going to need someone to read. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse number 1. The Bible said, watch this now. He that is wounded in the stones or in the testicles. He that is wounded in the... This is not a biology class, but I'm trying to explain the Bible. He that is wounded in the testicles. Come on. Or has his private member cut off. The Bible says the one that has his private member cut off could not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Here we have a eunuch. Therefore, this eunuch would have traveled all this way just to be in the place where God was being worshipped. You know, all of us can learn a lesson from that. Even though he couldn't get in, he just wanted to be there where God was being worshipped. Oh, we had that same type of spirit today. Well, we just say, I just want to be in the place where God is being worshipped. Because truly God deserves our worship. Because worship is about the concept of us showing our worthiness to God. Worthy. Worship. Worth. Worship. Ship is the concept. It's something you can't do by yourself. Partnership. Fellowship. It's the idea. Because if you could do it by yourself, you wouldn't need a ship. You just need a boat. Y'all getting on your way going home. And the Bible says he had been to Jerusalem for the purpose of worship. And the book says he was returning. As he's on his way back home, he's reading the book of Isaiah. Now, in Isaiah 53, he's reading Isaiah. No doubt he probably bought the scroll, expensive scroll, while he was there in Jerusalem. But on his way back, this 1,000-mile journey, on his way back, he's unrolling the scroll. Isaiah, he comes to Isaiah 53, and he's reading. He's reading Isaiah 53, but the problem becomes, the Bible says, he does not understand what he's reading. He's reading. But one thing I like about this fellow is, he was honest. But it helps us to understand that you can be honest, you can be sincere, you could be a Bible reader, you could be even a worship attender, and still be lost. You could have all of those great qualities and still be lost. Here was a man with all of these great qualities, still lost. Traveled almost 1,000 miles, still lost. Reading of his Old Testament scroll, still lost. Sincere as he could be, because the Bible says he was over of the treasury of Candace. Now, Candace was not a proper name. In upper Ethiopia, there in Africa, there was a region called Meroe. M-E-R-O-E. In Meroe, it was ruled by women. And the women, they were called the official title of that queenship was Candace. Just like in Egypt, they had Pharaoh. It wasn't a proper name, but it was a title. Here this man was. He was over all the king's, all the queen's treasury. Honest man. Sincere man. But yet, he was a man that was lost. And the Bible says, he's on his way home, but he's reading his Bible. He reads his Bible where the Bible says, the place of scripture we read was this, verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? And the Bible said, for his life is taken from the earth. And verse 34, and the eunuch said, I want to know, as Philip runs and joins himself to the chariot, he says, Philip hears him, said, do you understand what you're reading? And that's interesting, I jumped ahead of myself. As Philip is running alongside the chariot, you know, and the eunuch is reading, that's what you call first century texting while driving. He's reading his Bible while he's on his way, going home. He tells Philip, come join him in the chariot, reading his Bible, but he doesn't understand what he's reading. And the Bible says, the man said, he was so honest, he says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And that's a great attitude to have. Because none of us knows everything. The man says, how can I, except some man should guide me? And the Bible says that he desired Philip, that Philip would sit with him. And the Bible says, and the place of the scripture he read was this. It talks about what he read. And then verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture where he was reading, and he preached unto him Jesus. Now, in reading from the scroll, as he reads from the scroll, he's reading from right to left, as he's reading the scroll, he would have encountered something, no doubt, that would have messed up every Jewish convert. Every Jewish believer would have had problems with Isaiah 53. Because when you look at verse number 10 and verse number 11, because what they would often do back then, they would read through the scroll. And after they would read through a scroll, they would reread it all over again. They would meditate, if you will, or mutter over the scriptures. Now, when they would go over, when it gets to verse number 11 of Isaiah 53, where the Bible says in the latter part of verse 11, where thy righteous servant will justify many. That would have messed them up. Because remember then, under the law, that's what they were under. They were under the old law. And being under the old law, it would have posed a great problem. And the problem was that under the old law, they read a righteous servant. The problem was, under the old law, nobody could be declared righteous. Nobody was righteous under the old law. Look at your Bibles. Let's go to the Bibles, brothers. Get from Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21. Then I need Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 21. Then I need Galatians chapter 2 verse 16. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. Romans chapter 3 verse number 20. Acts 13 and verse number 39. If you don't write as fast as I talk, that's all right, because it's downloaded in my mind. Well, first of all, my first point is that there is no righteousness under the old law. Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 21. In Galatians 2:21, listen to the Bible. The Bible says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain. Which means if we could be righteous, that is the state of being declared right with God. If that could happen by the law of Moses, then Jesus died for nothing. Look at chapter 3. You're in Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. If there had been a law given, that which could have given life, then if it could have gave life, then righteousness would have came by the law. But the problem with the old law of Moses was there was no righteousness in the old law. But not only was there no righteousness, but then Isaiah said his righteous servant would justify. There was no justification. What is justification? Well, justification is to be declared not guilty. It's a legal term. It is to be declared not guilty. It doesn't mean that we haven't done some stuff. It's just that God declares us not guilty. Look at your Bible. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16. Galatians 2 and verse 16. The man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Come on and read. Yes. You are not justified by the works of the law. The Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Galatians 3 and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. Galatians 3 and verse 11. Nobody is justified by the law before God. Romans 3 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Watch what the Bible said. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Romans 3 and verse number 20. Yes. No flesh will be justified in his sight. No flesh. You see, the Bible said, and the other scripture was Acts 13:39, where the Bible talks about that there's no justification under the old law. There's no. So in other words, so under the law of Moses, you could not be right with God. Righteous is a state of righteousness, a state of being right with God. You could not be right with God under the old law. Number two, you could not be justified by the old law. So here we have this man. He's confused and he want to know. I want to know, who is Isaiah talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? And the Bible says in verse number 35, Peter began at the same scripture and preaches unto him Jesus. Verse 35. Now watch verse 36. The Bible says, and as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And I want you to watch this now. And the eunuch said, not Philip, the eunuch, listening to the teaching of Philip, when they come to some water, the eunuch says, see, here is water. I want to know what's stopping me from being baptized. Listen, why would he mention that? He starts at the same scripture and preaches Jesus. Because you got to understand this. You cannot preach Jesus without preaching baptism. I know that's right. It's impossible. You got folk today on television, on the radio, and they say they preach Jesus. Well, there is an impossibility for somebody to preach Jesus and not preach baptism. Well, how do you know? Well, because the Bible said Philip preached Jesus. Acts 8:35, he preached Jesus. Well, what does that mean? All right, let's go back. The same fellow. Let's keep our eye on Philip. Keep your eye on Philip. Go with me to Acts 8. Y'all already in there. You're already in that chapter. Acts chapter 8. Look at verse number 5. Look at Acts 8 verse 5. Watch what the Bible says. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. You see the Bible? He goes down to Samaria. He preaches Christ. He preaches Christ. What did he preach? He preaches Christ. Now, Acts 8:35, he preached Jesus. All right? So we know he's still preaching on the same thing. Almost like he only had one sermon. He just preached Jesus. What does it mean to preach Jesus? Look at verse number 12. Because the Bible said Philip was preaching Jesus. What does that mean? Verse number 12 says what? But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Look at what we have. What is he preaching? He's preaching the kingdom. What is the kingdom? The kingdom and the church are the same thing. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. You can't preach the church without the kingdom, because the church and the kingdom are the same thing. They are the same. I don't have time for all of this, but y'all looking like y'all interested. The kingdom. I said the church is the kingdom, because I know that's right, because in order to have a kingdom, number one, you got to have a king. You can't have a kingdom without a king. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 15, the Bible says that Jesus is the King of Kings. Not only is Jesus king, in order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. But then number two, a king has to have a dom or a domain on which to rule. You can't be king without a kingdom. And dome, or that domain in which he rules, is his church. The Bible tells us, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 18, that Christ is the head of the church. In order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. You got to have a domain. Number three, you got to have subjects. The king has to have subjects. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 24, the Bible said that the church is subject to Jesus Christ. Not only must you have, in order to have a kingdom, you got to have a king. You got to have a domain in which the king rules. You got to have subjects. But then number four, you have to have a law. The king can't have a kingdom to rule his subjects without a law. And the Bible says, Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so therefore the church I know the church is the kingdom because the Bible told me, Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 13, that we have been translated out of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And I know the church and the kingdom, they're the same thing. And so therefore the Bible says he was down there in Samaria, he preached the kingdom, but not only preached the kingdom, when you preach Christ, you have to preach the church. And that's how I know that these televangelists, these fellows that come on radio, they're not preaching Christ, because in order to preach Christ, you must preach about the church that Jesus built. And that is the one church. You got to preach about that one church. Not only the one church, but then the Bible says he talked about the name or the authority. You got to talk about the authority of Jesus Christ. And another reason I know that these denominational preachers are not preaching Christ, because number two, they're not preaching his authority. You got to preach his authority. And I know they can't preach his authority. For them to preach his authority is but to condemn themselves. Because for me to be in a denominational church and to preach Christ's authority is to do nothing but to condemn my own self. Because how can I be in a different religion that Jesus never authorized? In other words, how can I be in a religion that is not by the authority of Jesus Christ? And the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Bible said, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. And then the Bible said he preached baptism. They were baptized, both men and women. In other words, my friend, whenever you preach Jesus, you have to preach baptism. You have to preach baptism. And baptism is for the remission of your sin. It is impossible for somebody to be a member of the family of God without baptism. You must be baptized. Because what baptism does, it puts us in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you're in contact with the blood washes us of all of our sins. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 5. The Bible says it's the blood of Jesus that washes away our sins. And so therefore, when the eunuch, I'm back at Acts 8. When the eunuch hears about Jesus, he understands. You mean I can now go to worship and I can go inside? I don't have to go to worship and be on the outside anymore? You mean I can don't have to worry about traveling all the way from my hometown to come 1,000 miles to Jerusalem? You mean I can now worship God without this? And when I show up at worship, I don't have to worry about the idea of me being an outsider? And let me just say this to you, because see, a eunuch was also called, because he was unable to have children, they would call him a dry tree. He was nicknamed, and he was picked upon, and he was called a dry tree. But I want you to see prophecy. Prophecy. The Lord had already set it up where he was going to bring the Gentile from the outside to the inside. Look with me at the book of Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 3. And Isaiah chapter 56 and verse number 3. Now Isaiah prophesied, he says, neither let the son of the stranger that have joined himself, that's talking about a Gentile, that have joined himself to the Lord, speak saying, Isaiah is saying there's coming a time where the Gentile won't be able to say that the Lord has separated me from my people. Come on, sir. There's coming a time when the eunuch would no longer say, I'm a dry tree. Watch the book. Go to read, sir. Thus saith the Lord. Unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbath, and choose the things that please me, take hold of my covenant. Watch this. Watch this. Even will to the eunuchs will I give in my house and within my walls, I'm going to give them a place and I'm going to give them a name that is better than sons and daughters. Look at what happened. The eunuch who would travel all this way, he couldn't get in. He could not get in. But Isaiah prophesied there was coming a day when God was going to bring the eunuchs on the inside. No longer will they be on the outside. I'm going to bring them on the inside. And when I bring the eunuchs on the inside, he said, I'm going to give them a name and a place. He said, I'm going to bring within my walls, in my house, within my walls, and I'm going to give them a name that is better than sons and daughters. No longer will they be called a dry tree. When I bring them in my house, watch what he says, in my house. Now, under Jewish law, they were outsiders. Under Jewish law, they couldn't come in. The eunuchs couldn't come in. But God set up a way. In God's mind, he had a way that he was going to bring the eunuch from the outside to the inside. And when he brings them on the inside, he said, they're going to be within my walls, in my house. Then I'm going to give them a name. Don't miss this. He's going to give them a name, and the name is going to be better than sons and daughters. When I get them on the inside, I'm going to give them this name. And I want to know what is that name, because he says a name that is better than a name you can give a son or daughter. Now, let's go to Isaiah 62. Let's look at this name. Look at this name. He's going to give us some further insight into this name. In Isaiah 62 and verse number 1. Isaiah 62 and verse number 1. For Zion's sake, I'm not going to hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I'm not going to rest. Yes. As brightness, as a lamp that burneth. Come on. Watch this now. When the Gentiles see God's righteousness and all kings thy glory, then I'm going to call you by a new name which the mouth of the Lord is going to name. Now the Bible says there, when the Gentiles, we talk about that name in Isaiah 56, but now he's talking about this name again. He said the Lord is going to name this name. When is he going to give the name? He says when he bring the eunuch in, chapter 56, and then in chapter 62, he says after the Gentiles see righteousness. Well, you got to understand, where is God's righteousness? Ooh, I'm glad y'all asked me that. Well, the Bible said in Romans chapter 1 in verse number 16, Romans 1 verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein, or what does that mean, therein? We'll switch it around. In there, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So the Old Testament prophecy was, when the Gentiles receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the Gentiles, Isaiah 62:2, when the Gentiles shall see his righteousness, when they receive the gospel, then I'm going to give them a name. That's the name that the mouth of the Lord is going to name. And that's the same name, our church, where the Bible said is going to be better than sons and daughters. Look at what we have. In Acts chapter 2, the Jews came into the church of Christ. How did they come in? They heard the gospel. They were baptized. In Acts chapter 8, we read now about the Ethiopian eunuch. And the Bible says, because Philip was preaching, he hears the message. He says, see, here is water. What's stopping me from being baptized? And Philip said, if thou believe, thou mayest. And the eunuch says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the Bible said, he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they both went down in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Look at what we have. Acts chapter 2, the Jews came into the Lord's church. Acts chapter 8, we see where the Ethiopian eunuch now is a member of the Lord's church. And then we get to Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius and his household. Bible says, Acts 10:47, can any forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? And the Bible says, he commanded them that they should be baptized. Look at what we have. Chapter 2, the Jews came into the Lord's church through baptism. Chapter 8, we see where the eunuch came in through baptism. Chapter 10, the Gentiles came in. Remember prophecy said, when the Gentiles see his righteousness, then he's going to give the name. 2 Jews, 8 eunuch, 10 Gentiles. Now we're ready for the name. What is the name that is better than sons and daughters? Acts chapter 11 and verse number 26. The Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass a whole year that they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. What is the name that is better than sons and daughters? That is the name Christian. That is the name of God's Son. Christian. If you take Christ out of Christian, you are left with I-A-N, which means I ain't nothing without Christ. It's all about Him. Not about us. It's all about Him. And so the Bible tells us that that's the name that the Lord wants everybody to wear. That's the name that the Lord gave. When did He give the name? After the eunuch came into His house, came within His walls, He gave him a name that was better than sons and daughters. And that's the awesomeness about the Lord's church. That's the awesomeness about being a Christian. And the book says that after he was baptized, the Bible says that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why was he rejoicing? Because now he no longer was an outsider. He no longer was considered a dry tree. He can now come and worship God on the inside. That's the beauty of being a child of God. That is the beauty of giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's not about based on what man says, but it's based on what the Lord has done in setting up His one church. Baptism is an awesome thing, because only in baptism, A, we atone for, B, we are born again, C, we are cleansed, D, we are delivered from our past, E, we are elevated, F, we are forgiven, G, we receive God's grace, H, we receive His Holy Spirit, I, we have an intercessor, J, we have joy unspeakable, K, we are kept by the King, L, our past is now lost, M, we experience His mercy, N, we are near to Him, O, His arms are open, P, we are pardoned, Q, quickened, R, revived, S, we are saved, T, we are transformed, U, we are unified with Him, V, we have victory, W, we've been washed, X, our past is excluded, Y, we are yoked up to Jesus, Z, and we're on our way to Zion. But you can't get all of that unless you go in the waters of baptism. That's the beauty of saying yes to Jesus Christ. And now, and the Bible says what God was doing in regards to the church. He was showing us in the church that the church was not only just for the Jews. Not only was the church just for the Gentiles, but it's for the eunuchs as well. He set up the church to include everybody. What was the purpose of the church? That's why Paul said in Ephesians 3 and verse 6 that the Gentiles might be fellow heirs and of the same body. God wants everybody in the same body. But Brother Pounds, how do we get all these other different religious groups? Well, because man became dissatisfied with the Word of God. When man became dissatisfied, what man decided to do, go ahead and build his own religious institutions. And all these other religious institutions, they were not built by Jesus Christ, but they were built by man. And that's why the Lord tells us in regards to the fact that He's coming back for His church. And He helped us understand there can't be but one. What does one mean? One means only one. What does one... One literally means you don't have a choice. That's what one means. What does one mean? I'll give you a definition. I won't have to go to Webster. Let me give you a definition of one. One means you don't have a choice. That means, sisters, if your husband was in the closet this morning, looking in the closet, and he only had one suit, and he's in the closet, and he'd been there for 30 minutes, you said, honey, what you doing? He said, I'm trying to decide which suit I'm going to wear. Well, when you only have one, that means you don't have a choice. Are y'all with me? You don't have a choice. One means you don't have a choice. If you only have one car, you can't sit there and look in the garage trying to figure out which one you're going to drive. One means I don't have a choice. Are y'all with me here? Been married to Sister Pounds now this August, next month, be 26 years we've been married. Listen, amen. One wife, that means when I leave church, don't have a choice. Don't take one home. Help me, somebody. Yeah, and if I don't understand that, she'll help me. Amen, somebody. She would definitely help me understand that. Well, we have to understand. We have to get to the understanding that the church is the oneness of the church. And there is but one church. There is but one church. And so the purpose of the church was to get everybody in that one church. He's going to save the church. And unless you're in that one church, then there's no way you can be saved. Now let's argue. Let's argue a little bit, because preachers say, well, I hear what you're saying. One preacher talked about, he says, how do we know that that was, the baptism was a burial? How do we know? Well, only thing I do is just read the text. The Bible says they both went down into it. That's the only thing I do is just read the text. Because one preacher said, well, how do we know that there was no water already in the chariot? He could have had a jar of water with him, or a jug of water. Well, that seemed mighty strange to me, because they're traveling through a desert. And then the eunuch says, see. Now, Philip didn't say it. He says, see. Here is what. See, the see in the Greek literally means behold. It means a new discovery, which means I see something I didn't see before. So how in the world can this man have been on a journey almost 1,000 miles, didn't realize he had water in his chariot? Something wrong with that picture. And if he did have water, number two, why stop the chariot? Number three, if he had water in the chariot he didn't recognize he had, and if he had water in the chariot he didn't recognize he had, why did he stop? And if he did stop because he recognized he had what he didn't know he had, it had to have been enough water for two grown men to go down in and to come back up out of. Now, Brother Pounds, now I know you're from Florida, and you know, I don't know about folk in the education in Florida, but let me just bring something to your attention, because evidently in Florida you may have missed this, so I'm going to help you. Brother Pounds, you read where the Bible said they were in a desert. How are you going to find enough water in a desert for two grown men to go down in and to come back up out of? Well, first of all, you need to understand the text. The text meant it was a desert place. They were in a desert place. Now, can you find enough water in a desert place for two men to go down in? And all right, let's let the Bible. Listen, since I'm from Florida, let's let the Bible talk. Brothers, I need your help. Go to Matthew chapter 14 and verse 13. Can we find enough water in a desert place for two grown men to go down in and to come back up out of? The Bible says in Matthew 14:13. What does the Bible say? When Jesus heard of it, that's all I need. The Bible said Jesus went by ship into a desert place. If it was enough water for a ship in a desert place, I believe we can find enough water in a desert place for two men to go down in and to come back up out of. My friend, the Bible is right. What is the purpose of the church? To get all mankind together in one. That's the purpose of the church. I'm going to talk about that this afternoon. I'm going to talk about what was in God's mind. What was in God's mind before the foundation of the world? Before, I want you to see this, Lord's willing, in the afternoon service. Don't y'all eat too much. Before God made the world, God had the church of Christ in mind. And I want us to see this. We'll look at this afternoon. Before he even spoke anything into existence, his mind was already on the church of Christ. And we're going to talk about that. I'll show you that in the Bible. I'm not going to just give you lip, tongue, and teeth. I'm going to give you a book, chapter, and verse. But listen, my friend. That one church, thank God for the church of Christ. Now, you can't be a member of the church unless you do what the Lord told you to do. You have to be a member according to his authority. Now, what did Jesus say regarding the church? What Jesus said regarding the church was simple. You have to hear about him. Jesus said, John 8, if you don't believe I'm he, you're going to die in your sin. John 8, 21, 24, if you die in your sin, where I am, you can't come. So now we recognize you got to believe, but belief must be preceded by hearing. You got to hear the right thing, because if you don't hear the right thing, you'll never believe the right thing. Because faith does come by hearing. Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. You got to hear and believe. What must I believe? Acts 15:7. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made choice that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. You got to hear the gospel. The gospel is the death, it is the burial, and it is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Having heard that, do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died? Do you believe he was buried? Do you believe he rose again the third day? If you believe that, are you willing even today to repent of your sins? You got to repent. Acts 17, verse 30. Time of this ignorance, God winked at. But now God commands all men everywhere. You have to repent. And then you got to confess. You have to confess faith in what you say you believe. That is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Bible said, Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, he said, if you confess before men, I'll confess before my Father, which is in heaven. If you deny before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And then you must be baptized. You must be baptized in water for the forgiveness, the remission of your sins. Only in the water, my friend. Brother Pound, do you all believe in the Church of Christ? There's something mystical, magical about water? No. No, we don't believe. We don't believe there's nothing mystical or magical about water. Water is only a condition that has been given by God in order for us, my friend, in order for us to meet, in order for us, for Him to provide us with our salvation. Which means it is a condition. Which means in order for me to come, in order for me to come to Chicago, certain things had to happen. Certain things had to happen for me to come to Chicago. When I left home on yesterday morning, in order for me to come to Chicago, there were certain conditions that I had to meet. Number one, I had to have a ticket. You could wish to come here all you want to. Without a ticket, you ain't going nowhere. Are y'all with me? But then, not only that, I had the ticket. I had to go to a particular airline. Are y'all still with me? Now, there were multiple airlines. I had to go to a particular one based on the one where I purchased the ticket. And then when I was at the ticket counter with my bags, they gave me a gate to go to. Now, I could have been saying, you know what? Just a gate is a gate. Any gate will do. Look at all these planes. I mean, I just get on any plane. No, because every plane wasn't coming to Chicago. Are y'all with me? So I had certain conditions. Get the ticket, go to the right airline, then I had to go to the right gate. But then that wasn't all. When they called for those individuals to get on the group to get on the plane, I had to then physically walk to the plane, find my seat, and sit down. After I sat down, then I had to turn it over to somebody else because it was the pilot. That's when you pray, and then I go to sleep. It's amazing the faith we have. People say, I don't have faith. Yes, you do. We got faith in a lot of stuff. Every time I get on the plane, that's faith. I don't know whether that pilot took flying lessons or not. I don't know whether he cheated off of somebody else's pilot test. I don't know. I mean, I never saw the fella before in my life. And I'm not worried about him. Matter of fact, when I get on a plane, I usually like to look at the pilot. Because if he looked like he don't know what he's doing, he's going to mess me up the rest of the flight. So I just like to walk, and I quickly make a quick right, and I find my seat. I sit down. I pray. Because something else, let me tell you something else. Because, you know, there's a plane now. They can't even find a plane. The plane a few months ago flew, and they don't know where that plane is. And so I don't ever put my trust in man. I put my trust in God. I never forget this. That plane is man-made. A man made that plane. And there's no guarantee something that's man-made is going to reach its destination. And so I don't put my trust in man. I pray. And then I make sure I find my seat. I like to sit on the aisle. I don't like to sit next to the window. I don't want to see nothing. They go down, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. I sit on the aisle, and I don't like to have bags just in case I need to jump. I don't need, as if that's going to help me right jumping. But they just make me feel good. I don't like no bags. I just like to sit on the aisle, say my prayers, and then I go to sleep. And I usually like to wake up when the plane is landing. That's what I like to do. My trust is in God. Conditions, though, that had to be met. Baptism is a condition. God has placed water at the door of the church. And you cannot enter the church unless you come through the water. Everybody in the Bible, we read in the New Testament, that was members of the Lord's church, they had to go through the water. Look at back at our text. The Jews had to come through the water, through baptism. Acts 2:38. Peter told, repent and be baptized, every one of you. About 3,000. Acts chapter 8, the eunuch, baptized. Acts chapter 10, Cornelius and his household, the first Gentile converts, they were baptized. God put all of us together And that's the purpose of God, so that mankind would be together. It doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter what your financial background, your educational background is. It does not matter. If President Obama wants to be saved, if a man living on the street wants to be saved, they both have to do the same thing. They both have to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they both have to be baptized for sin's remission. God bless you today. There's somebody here today recognizing the Lord's church. The purpose of the church is to get all of us together. That was God's purpose for his church. Are you a member of that church? Are you a member of that church that the Lord built? The Lord, not only did he build the church, but the Bible says he's coming back for that church. And if you want to be saved, you need to be in the one that he's coming back for. And when he says only one, that means you don't have a choice. He didn't leave us a choice. He left the church for man to be saved. If you're here, you're a member of the body of Christ, you're going astray, you come on back home through a process of repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you're here, you just need prayer. Lord knows all of us need prayer. All of us can fall on our knees and say, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. And if you need the Lord today, if you need the Lord, come on, just as you are. Come on right now. Come on, say yes to him. Obey the gospel of Jesus Christ before it's time and everlastingly too late. Come on, say yes. The purpose of the church is that you might be saved and God would gather all of us together in one. God bless you now as we gather stand and as we sing.